Good evening. Good to see all you brave souls come out again tonight. Appreciate being in Sudbury again, and always look forward to being here. I'm going to read this evening where we left off this morning, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. These can be very difficult passages, and I hope that I don't make them more difficult than they are, but the wonder of this story is he begins by reminding us that God has in these last days spoken unto us. And if we hear what God says, easiest thing in the world for a believer is to respond. Do what he says. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. You remember the word that he spoke was his son, the Lord Jesus, and that in the power of the Spirit. And so it went through the first two chapters, and now this third chapter, and he called us to, I'm in the wrong chapter here, to consider the Lord Jesus in his apostleship. And we talked a bit about that this morning. And now in verse 7 it says, therefore, because of that, because of those first six verses, as the Holy Spirit says. Now the Holy Spirit is God, isn't he? The Father is God. The eternal Son is God. It's God who speaks. But he speaks to us in the man, Jesus, who is his son. The difference between the eternal son and the man, Jesus, is as a man, he had a beginning. Eternally, God has no beginning. As God, there's no ending. But for men, we have a birth. The Lord Jesus was born, and we have a physical death, and the Lord Jesus died the death of the cross. And so we're still hearing about God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us. And this is what he says, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And he goes on from there, but he says, today. That's important. It's the easiest thing in all the world to open your Bible and read the Word of God, or come to meeting and hear the Word of God spoken, or go online and hear some things, or read books of theology or preaching or whatever, and if you hear God speak to you, he says, this is for today. And if we say tomorrow, well, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And not just hearing it, but doing it when we hear it. And if we refuse his word today, then we'll see in a moment it hardens our hearts. And that means when tomorrow comes, and maybe we remember this same word, it's all that much easier to say once again, tomorrow. The heart is already a little more hardened, and the longer we put off our act of faith, living by faith in the Lord Jesus, the harder the heart becomes, the easier it becomes to ignore him. And so he says, today, if you will hear his voice. Now, that seems to imply to me that it's possible for us to will not to hear his voice. We can take up our Bibles and read them for what we already know or think we know, or the viewpoint that we always come from, and we're not expecting to hear God speak to us. We're not expecting anything other than what we are comfortable with, and so we don't hear him. The question in Hebrews always is, have you heard what God's saying to you? And if you do, what's your response? A hardening heart or a willing heart? You remember in chapter 2 when it described the first man, God spoke to him and he rejected God's word. Introduced sin and reproduced himself, and here we are by natural birth. But the second man, the Lord Jesus, God spoke to him. And he did what his father said to him. And so we have this instruction here: if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, forgive me for trying to make definitions, but I think they're important here. What is your heart anyway? We use that term easily and frequently. Well, we have a physical heart, don't we? That's obviously not what he's speaking of, but I think it's a good example. Our physical heart pumps the blood through our whole body, doesn't it? You remember, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if that heart does not pump that blood, you're going to die pretty quick. It's necessary. So the heart is an important part of our anatomy. That's a physical reality. But we use that word heart in a spiritual way. What is our heart? Well, it's the part that hears God speak. It's the part that does pump his blood, if we can say it that way, through our spiritual person, that we might live. Can't live without the life that blood brings. And so this is a hearing of God in our hearts, a response from our hearts. That means that it's not a hearing exactly like our physical sense of hearing. It's a hearing with understanding. It's a hearing we suggested this morning, of social implications. It's a hearing of trust. It's a hearing of personal commitment. And all those people in the wilderness, well, we'll read it in a moment again, and God spoke to them, but they hardened their hearts. They wouldn't do what he said. We live by faith as believers, don't we? Faith obeys. Faith trusts the Lord. Faith, we have come to understand that he is our very life, and consequently, to harden our heart, well, physically, if you get hardening of the heart, it doesn't pump so good. The blood doesn't flow so well. And you get weak, or you get sick, or you die. And the spiritual reality is, I think, pictured very well by that physical reality. And so it says, don't harden your heart. A hardened heart cannot pump that life through your very being. And the heart gets hard when we hear him speak and we ignore him. The people in back in Moses' day, you remember, he delivered them from slavery. Hey, good news. Oh, everybody liked that. And so they did what he said. Brought them to their promised land. He says, go get it. They didn't like that. They didn't feel capable, and they wouldn't have been capable in their own strength and ability. So they hardened their hearts and turned back and eventually died in the wilderness. And he's putting this in these more direct terms for us now. If you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. That was an example designed to help us to understand the greater reality of a life of faith in Christ. Pardon me. And so he says, where your, verse 9, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. We talked a bit about that this morning. God always speaks to our hearts. Well, our hearts don't exclude our mind, but our heart does not submit to our mind either. God sometimes asks us to do things that, well, we couldn't do naturally. But if we believe him, if we hear him and believe, we'll do what he said. And it's not that we're capable, but that he's capable of doing all that he will in us and through us. And so we get these very strong exhortations coming through there. His fathers tested me. Adam tested him. When God said, do not eat of it or you'll die, and the temptation was, I'll eat, and he did. And did he die? Well, he lived for 900 and some years after. It was all the proof he needed that God was wrong, or that he misheard, or that he misunderstood. But the fact of the matter is, the very moment that Adam ate that forbidden fruit, he died. That very moment, he died in his spirit. His spirit was absolutely dead towards God from that point on. Pardon me. And so it's easy to test God. Well, I'll see. I'll see what happens if I'll put it off till tomorrow. Whatever it is that he's said to you, whatever it is that he's brought to your attention, whatever it is he's put on into your heart, put it off till tomorrow. And tomorrow it becomes harder, easier to put it off for another day, and so on. A hard heart gets harder much more quickly than a tender heart that listens and does. And so we have this testing of him and trying him, and they saw my works 40 years. We live in a marvelous time, 2,000 years of Christianity, and I'm sure that every one of us has heard wonderful stories, and you can take it back to the stories in the New Testament. You can take it back into the history of the church and some of the marvelous things that God has done, and mighty revivals and all sorts of things like that. Wonderful. We love those stories. And they saw his works for 40 years, but they all died in the wilderness. they wouldn't follow him. They wouldn't respond to the word that he had spoken them. And so, verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's quite a statement, isn't it? When we come to faith in Christ, we rest in him. We rest from our natural ways, the ways of our sin, to know him and enjoy him and serve him and glorify him. Wonderful. We rest from our works and our ways in order to walk according to his Spirit. But we read here of not entering into that rest. That's what a hard heart does. That's what someone who hears and, well, they know it comes from the Word of God, and maybe they have some personal conviction that God has spoken to them in some way, but they're going to do it their way. And he says, they won't enter into my rest. And so verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. An evil heart of what? Unbelief. Are they believers? No, they're not. Oh, they believed him when he told them what they wanted to hear. They believed him when it served their immediate benefit and purposes. But that's not saving faith, is it? That's a very religious response of natural man to the circumstances of his life. Who can object to a God who tells us what we want to hear? Who can object to a God who agrees with us, who will do things our ways? That's not the living God. He speaks to us. He speaks to us in our need. He speaks to us of saving us from that need and bringing us into a new life, a life that is lived by his Spirit according to his word. I'm not talking about religion in the sense of, oh, I'm a member of a certain group and we do things this way because whatever. Well, if we are believers, we will fellowship together with one another, won't we? But the way of the group is not necessarily the way that God is speaking to you. We're not talking about having the correct theology. I doubt you'll find two theologians who agree perfectly with one another. We're talking about hearing God speak by his Spirit through his Son to our hearts. And so he says, these ones, they had an evil heart of unbelief. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God at least implies that we then believe him, we trust him, we're going to walk in the ways that he has to say. But these hearts are not that. They are hearts of unbelief. We're not talking here about truly saved people in that verse, but non-believers. And it says they departed from the living God. didn't mean they stopped being religious, didn't mean they stopped going to a church, didn't mean they stopped reading their Bible, but they would do all of that in the way that suited them, in a way that promoted their thinking and their way of acting. But here's the wonderful truth. God has in these last days spoken to us in His Son. Do we hear Him? If we hear Him, do we believe Him? If we believe Him, we'll trust Him and take Him at His word. And so verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. Notice again, while it's called today, not tomorrow. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's the description of an unsaved person, isn't it? It's a very sober passage, and lots of different views on many things from different corners. But I think if you bring it down to, have you heard God speak to you? Are you doing what He said? Do you continue to listen to Him and rest in Him, trust in Him, live for His honor and glory? That was the second man, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus came to do His Father's will, and He did that will. And at the beginning of His public ministry, the Spirit of God came upon Him, and just what we were reading earlier, lead and guide in God's way. And consequently, He came to that ultimate difficulty, the cross. He was truly human. And He's on Gethsemane's mountain or hill, and He says, Father, if there's any other way, it would be better than this, provided it's Your will. This was a struggle. He had to be strengthened by angels. He got up and went to see the three that He had taken in closer with Him, told them to watch and pray. They were sleeping. What more proof did they need, did He need, to understand the dire circumstances of even the best of men, those who followed Him, those who walked with Him, and they couldn't even stay awake for a few hours? And He went back and prayed again. It was a genuine human struggle. This was not a pleasant thing of the cross, but every time it was, so long as it's Your will. And after three times, it became clear to Him, this is My Father's will. And they went out to meet the crowd that came to arrest Him. You remember that? Ugly, harsh, murderous crowd. And you remember what the Lord did? He stepped between His followers and them as if to protect them. He says, who are you seeking? Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, He says, I am. You remember what happened? All His enemies fell on their faces. And He had to make them get up and get on with arresting Him. It was his father's will. He had no question about that at that point. It was not a fun thing. It was not a self-satisfying thing, except for the fact that it was his father's will. And so he went to the cross, brutally treated, despised and rejected. We talked a bit about that this morning. And his response, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What a Savior. Come on, I mean, what a Savior. Our need is far greater than we normally realize. And he would not rest until his Father's will was done, and that for our eternal well-being. Do we hear him? And if we hear him, do we practice what he has asked of us? Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Aren't we forgiven? Aren't we washed in the blood? Praise God for that. How'd that happen in our practical lives? By faith. We took God at his word, and we did that, right? Was that just a self-serving thing? And when he asked something of us that would not be pleasant for us, we say, oh no, I won't do that. That's not faith. And so he calls them to this practice of a life of faith. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You remember when you first trusted Christ as your Savior? You were born of God. Didn't that mean you received eternal life? Well, eternal life is not eternal life if we can walk away from it. If we can walk away from it, what does that say about our faith? No, he says, we will hold fast our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, this is filled with God speaking and us hearing. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And he goes back to the example of the Old Testament. Large crowd of professing believers, when it set them free from slavery to Egypt, but not such believers when it came to doing what God asked them to do. They were very much aware of their inability, their personal inability to accomplish what God was asking them to do. But God wasn't asking them to do it in their own strength. He was asking them to do it in faith, trusting him. He's the one that works in us, and he's the one that works through us. Isn't that true? And so he calls them to this. Here, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Who sinned? Whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Oh, I thought they were saved. I thought they received a new life, an eternal life. Well, when it suited their purposes, they talked that way. But when it came to doing what God spoke to them, and they heard him clear as a bell, wouldn't do it. That's sin. That was Adam's sin, wasn't it? As believers, he saved us. I was 25 years old when the Lord saved me. I have nothing to be proud of in my first 25 years of life, and I won't bore you with all those sordid details. I tell you what, the change was day and night. Have I followed him perfectly? No. But when I have hardened my heart, he's always convicted me of that. And I'm sure of you also. And what is it John says in his first letter? If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And these men in the wilderness, they never did that. But I believe the Spirit of God in us convicts us very quickly when we sin. And we run back to him and say, oh, forgive me, what a fool I've been. And pick up where we left off, as it were. And so he's calling them to this here. Where do we leave off? Verse 17, now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? They died in the wilderness. They had a promised land. He took them right to the promised land. They wouldn't take it. They couldn't defeat those enemies. God never asked them to. He said, just believe me. I'll beat your enemies for you. He does the same thing with us. Speaks to us, asks us to do things, to join him in what he's doing in some way. And naturally speaking, we could never accomplish anything of that caliber. But he's God. And if he can save me from my sin, and if he can take me out of that life of sin and give me an eternal life even now, what is there he can't do? Whatever he says, he does. And he does it well. And all we have to do is trust him. With whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? This is a tough one. He's not saying we're saved by faith and we continue by obedience. That is, by our own works. That's not what he's saying. When he says that we obey, it means we hear him, his word, and so we submit ourselves in trust and confidence in him, and he will do that work through us. But these just flat out wanted nothing to do with the full salvation of God. So we see that they could not enter in, and here come the magic words, because of unbelief. Are you a believer? Well, God loves to speak to his people, doesn't he? He tells us things ask things of us, things that we can't do in our own strength. And all we got to do is trust Him, respond to His word, watch Him work. He never makes a mistake. He never loses a battle. But don't render ourselves into a heart of unbelief. That's not a believing heart. That's an unbelieving heart. Anyway, I hope I haven't confused you more than what you came in with. If you don't take anything else away, take this. God has spoken to us in His Son. And the more we know His Son, the more we'll hear His voice. And as we hear His voice, because we are believers, we'll trust Him and do it. That's the nature of saving faith. But don't harden your heart. Don't put it off till tomorrow. And you see, I'm already repeating myself. Let's end. Father, we bow in Your presence. We acknowledge our fleshly weaknesses and tendencies. And yet, we have this great privilege of starting every week off with breaking bread and drinking of a cup of wine and remembering how sweet that remembrance is. Keeps us right back at that place of confidence, such that we can march into this week as believers. The faith that we have come to have by Your grace through faith cannot be shaken. And we rejoice in that. We do ask that You would help us as we strive to consider Your Son, as we talked about a bit this morning, that we might constantly see in our human circumstances and situations and conflicts, that we might see Your hand at work, that we might hear Your voice, that we might trust You and meet every situation in the name of Your Son. He who even went to the cross, bearing our sins, even into God-forsakenness. What a hopeless thing that seemed to be from our natural standpoint. But He was not mistaken, and we'll not be mistaken either if we continue to live and walk by faith every day and every hour of day. We cast ourselves afresh upon You in the name of Your Son, thankful and rejoicing in Your love and grace and goodness to us. And as they say, it's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.